The first reading for tonight is from Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. This is the word of the Lord. The gospel reading for this evening is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. This is the gospel of the Lord.
The hymns for tonight both were inspired by the scriptures that we heard as Beverly shared those with us tonight for Lift Up Your Heads, You Mighty Gates, and also our final hymn that we'll sing tonight on Jordan's Bank, The Baptist Cries. Those two texts, though, those were the places from which these hymns were inspired and certainly are a good reminder for us that we need to be ready. To be ready for the arrival of the Savior, to be ready for the things that are about to change. Because the Savior is coming, and you want to be ready. You definitely want to be ready when he gets here. And I think about in my life, and I don't know, but maybe your life too, in the house, it's 5:40 and you need to leave the house by 5:45 to be somewhere at 6 o'clock, and you're already standing there at the door, and the other person in the house isn't ready, and you're going, "Are you ready? We got to go. Come on, it's time. We got to go. We're going to be late. We're going to be late." And you're standing there and waiting and waiting and waiting, and they finally come up, and they're showing up, and you're getting out the door, and then you realize that you forgot something. So instead of the other person making you late, you end up making them yourselves late because you have to go back inside and get whatever it is and get back out. You know, you find out you're not really ready after all. When I worked for UPS many years ago, starting out in college, half the crew was from Mexico, Mexican, or as they like to call it, Chicano, because Texas Mexicans. And we spoke as much Spanish in the place as we did English. It was just easier because some folks didn't speak one, some folks didn't speak the other, and it got to be kind of interesting. The first word that I learned and was ready for, and this was because before I was a supervisor, I had to load those trucks, and I would hear shouting out from the top, and this is a big long chute, goes way up there about 30 feet in the air and at a pretty steep angle. I'd hear the word "Listo," and I knew I was about to get buried. That means, are you ready? That was the question. And you know, my buddy up there, Rick Polito. Polito from the Polito family, the Polito Mexican restaurants. This is one of the Polito kids, or grandkids at that point, you know. But he was up there working, and he was one who trained me, and then I got to be his boss after a while. But it was always something else. He would love to bury me. He loved to bury me. And then he loved to bury me still when I was supervising other people, training them how to load. He'd say, "Hey, you ready to show? Let's," you know, he'd hold the packages on the belt. He'd get it back and up on the belt. And then he'd go, "Please stop." Boom, bam, buried. I was always ready. I was never ready. That's the thing we end up with so often in our lives. We think we're ready. We think we're ready. We're sure we're ready. And then something happens and no, we're not quite there. We spend so much time getting ready for everything. We get ready for dinner. We get ready to leave. We get ready to go to classes. We get ready to go to church. We get ready to go to meetings. We get ready for a test. We get ready for bed. Really? You have to get ready for? Yes, we do. We get ready for bed. And then we have to start getting ready all again the next morning, all over again with all these things. We have to get. How much time do we spend getting ready for things versus actually doing and being involved in the things, I wonder? But it's got to be a lot. But are we ready for what's most important? Years ago, There was a man who was, and this is a true story, he was giving away bundles of money. And it kind of drove the reporters crazy. They were having a heyday out there with this guy handing out lots and lots of money. And when he was asked to explain why he was doing this, he explained that he was preparing to meet his God. They actually ended up locking him up and thinking he was crazy for what he was doing. And, you know, we look at the scriptures and well, the Gospel of Luke says to sell your possessions and give alms, be generous, to give to the poor, because the Son of Man is coming. And this guy was actually doing what the scriptures were saying. But for us in our world, in a profit-oriented world, charity doesn't have much room in people's lives. And for some, it seems maybe a little bit insane. I mean, what is security in our world? Money. What is power in our world? Money. What is the bond of friendship for many in our world? Money. A lot of people make money, making money, their holy business. And in a world such as we have, charity seems to be perhaps maybe a mild, if not pleasant, form of insanity. Because why would people be giving away what they have worked so hard to accumulate? And no wonder Jesus is so embarrassing for some to be able to support and follow, because he gave himself away. I mean, naked he came into the world, naked he goes out of the world. He died with no home, no possessions. And when he called his disciples, he called them out of their places of occupation and business and vocation to leave everything behind and follow him, to serve him. Can you imagine Jesus, if he were to come today, what would he think if he were looking through our world, looking at our magazines and our catalogs that come in, all the gift ideas that come across, the internet, and seeing, oh, now we're going from the Black Friday sales to the 12-day sales or the 20-day sales of this, that, and the other, and all the commercials, and wow, you're buying two vehicles now? It used to be one vehicle in the commercial that was wrapped in a ribbon. Chevy outdid it this year, I think. They went for two vehicles, and you know, I'm thinking those two vehicles cost as much as we paid for our house. More. Yeah. From one who knows. And we live in a good neighborhood. So but that's the way it is. Can you imagine Jesus looking at all this? I mean, I can't see him looking at all of this with anything but sorrow for us, because of the way we've become so much about the things of this world. And we get ready to get more things here at Christmas time. We're getting ready to shop some more. We're getting ready to buy some more. We're getting ready to get some more. For all our acquiring in this affluent society, Jesus becomes a little bit of a problem. Because what we're doing with his celebration is not what he would be doing with his celebration. Are we taking time, and in a sense this is that preaching to the choir, because you are making that extra time by your time in worship. That is evidenced by your time in coming to worship, that you are setting aside some time in this season for what it's truly about, to be with our Savior, to talk to our Savior, to hear his words and sing praises to our God. So yay God for this in our lives. But there are so many that don't. And even we know that we could do better. I mean, this accumulation of things that we have done in our life, and this idea of getting more and more, and instead of storing up those treasures in heaven, we're storing up the things on earth. And we're preoccupied so much with the things of this world. To be ready, Jesus calls us to give away. To be ready, we have to be ready to go, not to stay and to have him come here with us, but to be ready to leave. I mean, that's what's going to happen for us when the time comes. And he calls us, he's calling us out of everything. I mean, he's calling you out of your clothes. He's calling you. You don't take anything. You go. And that's God's goal, is to, to help us understand that we need to be prepared. That's what the scriptures are there for, to prepare us for that coming of Jesus. And God now shouts out to the world during Advent, "Listo? Are you ready? Because it's getting ready to come. And when it comes, it's going to be like everything coming down the chute at once. It's going to come in a rush, like a thief in the night, and beyond all comprehension or understanding, we are going to have the appearance of Christ and the end of the world and the overthrow completely of the devil and his demons, and everything is going to be created new in the new heaven and the new earth. And how long is all this going to take? I don't know. It could be a flash of an eye, as he talks about, you know, a day like a thousand years and a thousand years like a day. God could make all of this happen in a moment. And will we be ready? We need to make ourselves ready. We sometimes feel we're ready. We're seemingly ready, but then the time comes and we find out, oops, no, wait a minute, I need to go back and do one more thing. Or we're going through that list in our head, have I done this? Have I done that? Have we checked off everything on the list? You know, the question comes out, you know, listo, are you ready? Because it's getting ready to come. You know, the one who ascended to heaven is going to come again for us. And there's not a warning bell. Today the sirens went off all over 1 o'clock, first Wednesday of the month. You know, oh, wouldn't that be awesome? We're going to get a warning call. Christ must be about to come. Let's get ready. Not going to work like that. We have to be ready all the time. We have to know that the Lord is calling us to be prepared. When will He come? I mean, what if He comes when we're busy doing something else on a Sunday morning that we find is more important than going to worship on a Sunday morning? What if He comes when we're busy gossiping about somebody and telling stories about somebody that He died for? What if He comes while we're speaking ill of someone that He loves? What if He comes while we're making fun of someone? Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be ready at all when Christ comes? We think we're ready, but are we truly ready? Because instead of paying attention to the gospel, instead of paying attention to the Savior, instead of paying attention to the cross, we are preoccupied with so many things. And between the television, you used to be able to throw in the word newspapers in there, but we don't even bother with that one anymore. Magazines, our phones, the internet, and all kinds of other things to distract us. Are we giving the time that we need to give to our Savior? Will He come while we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, thinking something we shouldn't be thinking, ignoring someone that is in need, and instead being self-indulgent to our own needs? We need to remember that He's calling us to be prepared. He's calling us to be ready. And He's concerned with you. He's so concerned with you that He made sure and sent His Son for you. And then He made sure to have some people write down all these things that took place at that time and after that for you to have, to hold, and to cherish. But don't cherish it so much you put it on a shelf and love it and adore it up there. Pull it off the shelf and read it, that Bible. Use it. It's God's love letter to you to help you be prepared. Listo? Now's the time to get ready. There's no more time to be sort of prepared. There's no more time to start thinking, well, I'll get ready. Or when the siren goes, I'll make that deathbed confession if I need to. Or I'll stop doing this or I'll stop doing that eventually. Or I'll quit letting my sinful nature take hold of my life in this area or that area someday, but I'm just not ready to stop that yet. Whatever it is that is separating you from your relationship with God that you know you should have, the right relationship, not just the outward one. Because, boy, on the outside, you know what? Yeah, I look around, we're a pretty good-looking crew. But I know there's some muck and garbage on the inside of a lot of us, myself included. And we can be a little bit more ready. By worshiping together, we can be a lot more ready. By studying the Bible together, we can be a lot more ready. By singing God's praises and by having the fellowship time together, we can be a lot more ready. By continuing to have this relationship with the body of Christ, we can be a lot more ready. We know the pattern. We know the path. We just have to stay on it and to encourage each other and to back one another. ¿Es usted listo para Jesús? Are you ready for Jesus to come? That was where we went after Rick would say, listo. I would start telling him, are you ready for Jesus? And he was. He was a Christian. Because while he wanted to make sure that I was ready, I wanted to make sure that he was ready for what was truly important. Are you ready in your life? Not for the parties, not for the games. Open house at my house, Catherine's house, this Saturday, 3 to 5. We have to get ready. We have to get ready. We got a lot to get ready. But you know what? If that weren't to take place, it would be fine with me if Jesus shows up before that. I think it'd be good with Catherine too. But you know what? No matter what, we're going to be ready. You're going to be ready for what's most important. You have the forgiveness of Christ because of His death and resurrection. You have the love and the forgiveness of God because of your faith in His Son. And because you turn to Him, even in those areas where we could still use a lot of improvement, we lay those at the cross and we're forgiven for those. And God says, you're ready. Stay ready. Now that you know how to be ready, though, continue to come to Jesus. Continue to be a part of the body of Christ. Continue to lay those sins at the cross. Continue to confess. Continue to say, Jesus, you're the one I need to be ready for. And at that point, you're ready for all you need. In Jesus' name, amen.